Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are on the 21st of April as the month wraps up, to discuss the latest ups and downs of the stock market.
Yeah, the latest and greatest. So before we get started, I thought we'd do a quick Twitter plug. What do you think about
okay.
that? You want to plug it?
Sure.
All right. I'm Andrew Horowitz, just one big word.
And I'm the real Dvorak.
The real, not to be, of course. Is there a fake? Do I have any answer? Is there a fake Dvorak?
Or there was a couple, yeah.
The real fake Dvorak.
But I have the Dvorak. I think I have the Dvorak one, but the regular one, the one I could use, I just haven't moved to it.
Mm. All right, so lots to talk about here. We've been talking about China, right? We've been talking about all the things that they've been doing and not doing and the things that seems that they could do. Well, one of the things that happened, as predicted by us, by the way, last week, was that markets could come under pressure if they decide, I don't know, maybe they'll slow down on the allowance of margin accounts. And maybe they'll cut back and really say, you know what, no more margin, because margin is at an all-time high here. And that would be really negative for markets. Remember that whole discussion?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Guess what?
They did exactly what we told them to do.
Uh-huh. They're listening. And initially, the futures of the Shanghai and Hang Seng dropped about 5%. And we saw that there was a bit of a comeback and a couple days later when, lo and behold, they also decided, hey, we're going to add record stimulus, more than we ever have. As a matter of fact, likened to what happened back in 2008 during the financial crisis. That's how bad things are there.
Ah.
The weekend, we saw that GDP, 7%, exactly as was estimated by analysts. That's pretty hysterical.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, seems rigged.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So, the government reduced the requirement ratio, and this is something that they have at banks. This is how they do their stimulus. They say, okay, you know what? Banks, you no longer have to hold as much money on deposit. So what happens is that money gets flooded into the market through loans, through all sorts of different schemes.
Yeah, it's a version of printing money.
Yeah, exactly. So now but I thought the most incredible thing was that the 7% number was hit on GDP. Exactly. As estimates. I think it's pretty hard for them to calculate that, but they, lo and behold, they come right on spot on estimates every time.
Astonishing.
Now, there are some murmurs that GDP of 7% has, it's kind of questionable because they add up all the different numbers, you know, around it, the exports, the manufacturing, all the different things that go into GDP.
Right.
And people are like, that doesn't add up to 7%. So there's some question about that there may be, or concern that there may be, much more significant slowing than there was.
Mm.
So that's what's going on in China. I'm going to China in a few months.
Why?
Because I want to talk to them about this. I'm putting my foot down. I want to know exactly how they're calculating this. This is an economic tour for me.
Really?
No. Okay. I'm going to...
you could do an economic tour. It'd be good for the show.
Yeah. When's the last time you were there?
Oh, I've probably been there for 2 years, maybe.
Really?
It changes every 6 months. It's like a new country.
Yeah. Well, one of the things I saw in my itinerary was the Panda Reserve that we're going to.
Oh.
Which is very touristy. I don't usually do the touristy thing. But
Have you been to the Great Wall?
Yes, I have. Fascinating.
So that's touristy.
Yeah, but it's great. Did you like it?
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. So so at the Panda Reserve, that we're going to this Panda Reserve, one of the things that we're going to be, it seems to be, watching is mating. I saw something about panda mating or something like that. And I'm like, that's a scheduled item that we're going to do?
Apparently, pandas will take orders and when to do it.
Well, the story goes that they were having a lot of problems with reproduction of pandas. You know about this, right?
Oh, yeah. This was a big deal for a long time.
They gave him Viagra.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yep. That's what I heard.
Oh, I never knew that.
Yep, gave him Viagra, and things are much better now. There are pandas on the way.
Jeez.
Well, we have a big week for earnings this week. About 100-plus companies are reporting. And so far, it's been a mixed bag, but there was a lot of concern that companies were going to start slowing on their earnings. Revenue growth has been abysmal. Companies are missing on revenue quite often, but they're making it up by beating on the top line, beating on the bottom line on EPS because they're doing a lot of financial engineering and buybacks. We know the drill. And
right.
the big name that has been doing this and maybe even invented this, it's possible they invented this scheme, is IBM. IBM, once again, missed on revenue. It's the 12th quarter in a row that they have declining revenue, but earnings beat.
Well, it'll be interesting when they beat their earnings and they actually have no revenue.
They're on the way, but are they going to keep Rometty, you think?
I don't know why not.
Mm.
Look at the price of the stock. That's all that anyone cares about with the CEO. That's why they got rid of Ballmer over at Microsoft.
Yeah, the stock's not moving.
I mean, he was making money hand over fist, but he couldn't move the stock.
Yeah, but unfortunately, the stock's not moving either at IBM, right? It's at 164.
Well, I know, but it's up there. Mm. It's way overpriced, let's face it.
Right. So IBM, we'll see what happens with that. I'm trying to still adjust my my sound here. I got a lot of excess sound coming from my headphones on me. Versus you. So you remember John Corzine?
Remember? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah,
he's in jail, right?
No, of course not.
What?
No. Why should he be in jail? Because he bankrupted a company and cost people billions of dollars? That is not, it does not seem that is illegal in this country.
Huh. I thought what he did was illegal.
Well, I think he was slapped on the wrist.
Using the wrong money to trade with and doing all kinds of things that you're not supposed to do.
Right, leveraging up on currencies. He only needed actually a few more months, and Europe would have come to the rescue and totally solved his problems. But he was actually doing currencies, but more importantly, he was doing bonds. Can you imagine? Think about this. This poor schlub, he gets in incredible amounts of sovereign debt of Europe that is imploding, saying that there is no way there's going to be a default. And he piles it on and piles it on, levers it up and borrows money from all, and buys and buys and buys. And this stuff is just going into the tank. Today, if he would have just held on to those, the numbers would be extraordinary.
Way up.
Because if you look at what's happened over the last several years with the European, I mean, you have negative yields on German bunds.
Huh.
That means that there's a tremendous amount of buying going on, and from the day is and these are record numbers, by the way. So therefore, if they're at a record low, that means prices of bonds are at a record high.
Right.
So right. This guy,
at the moment where they couldn't go up any higher, they managed to do it anyway.
So this guy's a genius.
I guess he's just ahead of his time.
Yeah, he's a genius. He's definitely a genius. So here's the funny thing. Here's the rub. And maybe it's not the rub. Maybe it's because he is a genius, just a little bit slow at the wrong timing. Timing's everything. He is actually going to be potentially opening up a hedge fund.
Hmm. Whatever he does, we should do it like 6 months later.
Yeah. But this is the point. I mean, you said we started this off. All right, he's got to be in jail. Nope, not in jail. Not only is he not in jail, how is he even allowed to be involved in the financial industry anymore?
Yeah, they kicked Michael Milken, and he couldn't go back into the business.
Right. So this guy, but he did through other means, right? But this guy, just recently, I don't know, maybe three years ago? Wasn't that long ago. This is a former mayor, I believe, of, what was he mayor of?
I don't know.
Somewhere. Anyway, so this is the world we live in where a lot of this shenanigans go unpunished, although it seems 5 years after the fact, finally, the big flash crash that took markets down, what, 600-700 points in one day? Remember the Dow moving down in 2010?
Yeah.
That one day? 5 years later, finally we got the trader that contributed to this. I think this is amazing. I think this is a BS story, by the way.
I wouldn't be surprised in the least.
So here's the news story. A UK futures trader contributed to the May 2010 flash crash by engaging in illegal bait-and-switch practices, according to the U.S. authorities. The trader, who was 37-year-old Navinder Singhasarayo, was arrested in the U.K. Tuesday, and the U.S. is seeking his extradition, the Justice Department said in a statement. Serrao, who ran his own trading shop, was charged with wire and commodities fraud in a criminal complaint filed in federal court in Illinois. Okay. The Justice Department and Commodities Future Trading Commission, who filed a separate lawsuit, say it engaged in trading strategies known as layering and spoofing that contributed to the flash crash of May 6, 2010, when the Dow Jones Industrial Average plunged 1,000 points, blah, blah. Now, what's really interesting about this guy's been doing the same thing up until 2014. So he floods the market through algorithms and flash trades with all sorts of orders that are never intended on being filled.
Uh-huh.
So he shows them up. They flash on the screen. So I'm a trader on the other side saying, hey, look at all these guys selling, when it really never happens. He keeps it just far enough away that they're never hit. This is the spoofing. So like spoofing on emails or text or something like that, right?
Yeah.
You kind of like send something out there, but it's not really you. So he throws all this stuff out there, makes it look like there's all these different trades happening, layers them in and kind of piles them on. And his system is automatically pulling them and changing them. And supposedly he's the one, this guy, this mastermind genius at the time, 32 years old, who created the flash crash. Now, how much baloney is that?
Sounds unlikely.
Seems ridiculous. I mean, I get how there was obviously some kind of a glitch. There, obviously. It wasn't just everybody woke up and said, I am selling now. You know, it's like everybody said, oh, yeah, now's the time to sell. And everybody called their brokers and everybody pushed the button and said, we're selling right now. Obviously, it was a fat finger trade. Maybe it was some of the spoofing, but it and maybe machines gone a little bit haywire. But to nail it on this one guy, maybe to try to form some closure and to take the brunt of the blame off of the various exchanges for some kind of a mishap that they may have had electronically or otherwise is pretty much.
Well, especially since the guy's been doing the same thing till 2014.
Yeah, nobody stopped.
And we haven't seen another example of what we're talking about. How does that make sense?
Right.
Makes no sense.
He's just hiding and being quiet in the background. Just waiting for his time to do it all over again. Supposedly he made like $40 million from it. They're seizing a bank account worth $12 million. So I started thinking about this. Guy made $40 million in this deal. And he's good at this, whatever he does, right?
Yeah.
And now he has $12 million. What does that say?
Says he's a big spender.
Big spender or not so good at it. Because
right.
Either one.
Or both. But probably the second thing.
Yeah. So anyway, this is what the big news is right now. It's all over that this is, anybody could do it, or markets that susceptible to this kind of crime. He did it with a spreadsheet and with some, they're making it sound like it was really easy to do. I mean, but he had to have some cash behind him. He had to have some kind of systems that would have done this if he did have it. I just can't imagine
they want the public to know what really happened.
No, of course not. It's
when
like
you find some like you said, a schlub. Blame it all on him with a wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Tell him to take the fall, and then you'll let him off easy. Probably yep. was doing something illegal.
Yep. So let's see what else we have here. What do you have? Okay. Recent story about back in 2013, Google was negotiating to buy Tesla. What do you make of that?
I'm sorry?
There was a story that back in 2013, Google was negotiating to buy Tesla, by the company.
I think I've heard this before.
And?
I didn't follow up on it. It just seemed like I think they're negotiating to buy a lot of different things. And I think I heard Apple was going to buy Tesla.
Yeah, that's the rumors. I think this is all about the driverless concept.
Yeah, I don't know why they need Tesla for that, but okay.
Do you feel uncomfortable with the whole driverless thing?
No, I don't have a problem with the idea.
Kind of like being on a train, I guess, right? In a way.
Yeah. Yeah, or being on any one of those, like the subway that goes from JFK that is an elevated train that goes from JFK Airport over to the Long Island Railroad, drops you off.
Right.
It's called I can't remember the name of it. It's just
AirTrain or Train
Air? AirTrain. Yeah, AirTrain. You get on AirTrain instead of... It's the absolute best way to get into town.
Yeah, it's cheap compared to
it's cheap, yeah. and it's no traffic, and there's all these other elements that make it better.
Right,
and you don't have to be stuck in a cab,
mm-hmm.
and you don't have to pay so much. That's for sure. But I always go to the front of that thing and watch the tracks go by. There's no driver. And it's a pretty long ride. It's not like it's just, you know, a little
loop. There's no driver on the train at all?
No.
Really? I didn't know that. I thought it was at least.
No. Zip. Nobody.
Hmm. Interesting. I was thinking about that when the story came out today. There was a big hubbubaloo on CNBC that was concerned about, man, there's going to be, terrible car accidents. And this whole Apple Watch thing is a very big distraction. You know, start with a distraction. People are going to be called. You know, what, right now, if you get a call, you look over at your phone. But if you have the watch on, you pick your hand up, maybe off the steering wheel, and you look at it to see who's calling you. And this whole thing was going on with this big concern.
Bunch of old women.
So people, because they have a phone and it's not attached to their arm, won't pick up the phone? All right, between me and you, do you text and drive?
If I'm stopped, I will sometimes read messages. I generally do text and drive, but I do it in the modern way.
What is that?
You push the microphone and talk text.
Yeah, I don't do that much. I should do that more.
It's so good. I mean, you do have to say period and question mark and exclamation mark and things like that. And it puts them in. It's very interesting. But it's so good. In a quiet car, you have to turn your radio off. But it's astonishing how well it works.
Yeah.
I very rarely use the typewriter.
The typewriter.
Whatever you call it, the keyboard.
The typewriter.
Yeah, kind of dubiously modern and at the same time old-fashioned. How does that work?
Exactly. The Dvorak keyboard. You know, I had a Brother typewriter.
By the way, when I talk text, that's when I use a Dvorak keyboard.
That makes sense. The Dvorak audible keyboard. The audio keyboard.
Yeah, joke there.
I got that. I thought it was very funny. Hardy har har. I text and drive.
I don't text and drive. Well, you use the keyboard apparently, which is bad.
Yeah.
But I think it's just as bad to use the maps and drive.
Any maps or ones on the phone?
The ones on the phone.
What about the ones that are in the car in the dashboard?
Oh, who uses? Oh, the dashboard map. You have a car with one of those.
No, when it has a Garmin in the, stuck on a window or something.
Garmin in the Garmin, yeah.
Yeah. So, but the maps can tell you to, they shout at you to turn here and stuff like that.
So does the phone.
Yeah, I know. That's okay though, right?
Yeah, but you cheat. You can't just listen to the damn thing.
Right.
So you're always looking, I got 2.9 miles to go and I turned left on 280.
Mm-hmm.
So you're always getting ready. Then you look down, you think you're almost there, and you got 2.7 miles to go. And, you look, wait another 5 minutes, and you look down. You're always looking at the damn thing.
And meanwhile, though, you can't put a television in a car, in the front, because that's too distracting.
Yes. Right. It's illegal, actually.
Right, but you can have a phone, and you can have all this, an iPad, and all this other stuff going on. And not to mention the fact that if you think about things that are distracting and potentially hazardous, how about kids in the back seat? The general concept of kids in the back seat,
Yeah, no, it's all distracting.
Right.
The kids should be belted down, by the way.
When I was a kid, we had the belts that went across your stomach rather than across your shoulder and all that, right?
Yeah.
And my dad would either take the belts and bury them in the seat, and in one car, he actually cut them out. Seriously.
He's not going to have the government tell him what to do.
No, I don't. It wasn't, back then, it wasn't required. It wasn't an issue of you'd get a ticket. Remember that?
Yeah, I do remember it.
And so I remember this one time we had a car that obviously didn't matter if we were in our seats. We were driving down to Florida the whole time. And the whole time we were just hanging on the headrest in the front seat, and just pulling on it for 20 hours. Yeah, my dad was not happy about that. He would never stop at south of the border.
He would never stop south of what border?
There's a place called South of the Border. It's pretty famous. It's on the border of North Carolina, North Carolina, South Carolina, I believe, or maybe Georgia. I think it's south of South Carolina, so it's on the Georgia border, I guess. And all the way down to Florida, there's all these signs. So Pedro says, south of the border, 5 miles, come in, we'll give you smiles, or whatever the heck it was. All these funny things on the way down. You're like 300 miles.
Yeah, so like when you go across the country, they have walled drug.
Right. So
free water.
So I said, can we stop? My dad said, we're not stopping. It's a rip-off place. I said, we don't have to buy anything. Can we just go there and check it out? No. This is years. We go down every time. The whole time we're reading these signs and we're getting all excited. This is the year Dad's going to stop. Nope. Never stopped.
He must have went in there once when he was younger and got ripped off.
I guess. This is where we used to. We did stop out. We always had to stop at Stuckey's and get a pecan roll. You ever have those?
No. I don't know if I've even been to a Stuckey's.
Yeah, it's kind of a... They have the tallest signs in the world. These are ones in the middle of the highway that you can see for like 10 miles because they're all the way up in the air.
Yeah.
You know? And it's like a pecan with marshmallows or marshmallow with pecan on the outside or something like that. Just a nasty, greasy thing of pecan yuck. But anyway.
And you're discussing this what? Why?
Yeah, I don't know why. Just kind of went a little off there. Let's talk about some more business. Netflix soars on an earnings report that was pretty impressive. A lot of ads throughout the world. And U.S. was pretty good, but there was a lot of good things in the report. Stock was up like 18% on the earnings, and you picked it the day before.
Yeah, that was a pretty good. I consider that one of my great timed picks.
Yeah, no, it was good. Fortunately, we did the show the day before the earnings announcement, and that worked out there very well. And they keep on announcing just all sorts of things. You know, they have a tremendous bankroll of original. I'm watching something now called Bloodline. Have you watched any of the original series from Netflix?
Only the new one, Unbreakable.
Oh, how's that?
Oh, it's fantastic.
Is it brand new?
Yeah, it's pretty brand new.
I gotta watch
pretty
that.
Brand new, whatever that means. It's Tina Fey's a new thing. She was going to sell it to NBC, and then Netflix swooped in and took it out from under them, paid more money.
Is it comedy?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's a comedy about a group of women called Mole Women. That were in a cult, and they went. They were buried underground in some like a underground house, and they were stuck there for like 15 years before before the police rescued them because they were unbeknownst to them. The guy who was running the cult was just a screwball, and
as
so
opposed
then they
to
came,
the guy that runs the cult that puts people buries them underground is normal,
right?
Okay.
The normal guy. So they come out, and this one girl, Kimmy, whatever, Schmidt, or whatever her name is the main character, and she decides that she's not going to go on the tours and all the rest of the stuff that the other girls are going to do and go back to the town, and she's going to go to New York City. Mm. And enthusiastic humor ensues. It's a very funny story. It's good. It's very entertaining. If you like Tina Fey's type of material.
Yeah, she's good. I like her.
You'll like the show.
Mm. Well, speaking about kind of gatherings of women and men, so I was talking to a few of my friends recently and people that I know, and they started talking to me about one of them about the bachelor party that they went to. I'm like, well, what's going on? Well, we went to Chicago and we did this and we did that, and there's another one coming up, and the bachelorettes go over here, and all this stuff. I'm thinking, my goodness.
This is like sounds like Hangover 2.
It's unbelievable, though, the amount of money that is spent. There was some study recently done that on average, it's $750 to $1,000 a person for these bachelor/bachelorette party weekends. Whereas, you know, because they're out of town, they're theme-oriented. My day, we'd go out to some bar, hang out for a few hours. And
yeah, that's same with me.
Get drunk and, you know, make a fool of ourselves. We had to make a fool of ourselves. You know, you get – I remember
we never went that far.
I went to one. Some guy was mud wrestling, and he was, like, serious about it. I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know, and the girls were just throwing ice down his pants, and it was just, and he's like, he's tried to kick their butts. It was unbelievable. They crushed him, though. That was the fun part of it. But, yeah, these new things. What's with these kids? They have to kind of keep on pressing for, it's, you know what it is? It's all about the Facebook generation of look at me.
There's that. That's a lot of people believe that's part of it.
Yeah, look at me, and I'm going to put, but not only am I going to do this, but I'm going to put it on Facebook. I'd just like to say that any of the bachelor parties that I've ever gone to does not belong on Facebook.
None of that stuff belongs on Facebook.
No, not at all. Not at all. It doesn't belong in a picture anywhere, buried, and you know? So, but is there something more to this? I mean, when my son went to the prom, you can't, you know, again, in my day, hey, Sally. What are you doing Saturday night? It's the prom. You think you want to go with me? Okay. That was pretty much the whole invitation, right?
That would be about right.
Yeah. Now it's a promvitation. You know about this?
No.
Oh, yeah, no. It's a promvitation. So you have to do something big. Like, for example, my son got the principal of the high school to allow him to use the football field. I'm not kidding about this. A football field. And what he did was he took all these little candles and put them like in a glass and spelled out.
Like votive candles.
Yeah, and spelled out the word prom up the stairs and up the bleachers, up the bleachers. Like, you know, one, the P would be like five candles up, four over, three down. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
For the P. That said prom. So we had to help him do all this, light all these candles. And then he came in, I guess the girl's mother dropped her off. And she walked into, in the nighttime, this big viewing across all the bleachers, the word prom with a question mark. You have to go to that length, not to mention the flowers and all the other stuff.
Huh.
Promvitations. And there's all sorts of things. You know, the old, 200 balloons delivered to Fifth Hour to somebody. Just, it goes on and on and on. So it's the same thing with this. It's the, you know, it's the look at me. And the other thing is also, I guess, a lot of the kids, you know, my son says to me, my buddy here, man, he's rich. He's got a car. He's got this Mercedes, and he's got this boat, and he's got a motorcycle. Man, he's really rich. You know, he's rich. He's 17 years old. I don't think he's. What has he done to earn that money? What jobs he got? Well, you know, it's his dad. But everybody says he's rich. Gonna grow up a little bit twisted, huh?
Yeah, I don't know what to tell you.
You're a real big help today.
I'm no help. And I don't know. I didn't even know that this existed. It seemed to me the old way was the good way.
Well, ask your son.
Now I got a date. Do you want to go to the prom? No, yeah. I'm going with Bill. No, you want to go to the prom? Yeah. Okay, I'll go.
Right. Well, let me see who else is going to put a, you know, write my name in the sky first. Then I'll see if I'll go with you.
Skywriters.
You know? What's next? Okay. So another thing on well, back to business for a second. Have you noticed this trend? This is something interesting. You see a news item, and it says something like this. It says, why the markets are poised to sell off in 7 charts. Or what you need to know about the economy in 5 points. Or the 10 stocks you need to own. What is with
that? Those are all those kind of grabbers that are promoted headlines for bullcrap websites that don't tell you anything.
But what?
I refuse to click on those things.
Now, let me give you 5 reasons why you don't want to click on those.
Yeah, 5 reasons not to click on this crap.
No, but seriously, what is it? What is it about there's something to be said about a countdown or these kind of numbered. Is it just that, okay, if I look at this, it's going to be very succinct and it's going to give me the information I need, not waste any time, and that's all it is? Or is it something more that grabs us? Because I think it's kind of fascinating.
Well, this is no different to me than the good headline writing, and that used to be in the New York Post. The headline will get you to buy the damn Post. Or the crazy little ditties that were written by, I think, Helen Gurley Brown's husband on the front cover of Cosmo, which always had these sorts of grabbing headlines to get you buy the magazine. But now they're just doing it to get you to click. But it's the same mechanism. Really good, compelling headline that sounds like something that you might want to do or click on. And a lot of it has to do with Hollywood celebrities. You know, the biggest flops, the biggest losers in Hollywood, everyone always clicks on something like that.
Yeah. Oh, the 5 worst plastic surgeries.
Yeah, that's always good for a laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is something that I think everybody needs to know about, just to kind of realize that it's the whole point is the headline. It's not the internal information that's so good.
No, the internal. This is worse. I mean, at least with the magazines, they were kind of close to what the headlines were talking about. But
right. This
is just a link bait designed to
get
you to go.
That's what it is. It's link bait. That's the word, right?
Yeah, link bait. And then you click on it, and you're over there. Next thing you know, you're accidentally viewing something that somebody's getting charged for some page view of some bull crap. I refuse to click. I have to say, every once in a while, one is so compelling that you okay, and you click on it. You're always
disappointed, right?
Always disappointed.
Yeah. Greece is stepping up rhetoric to try to sway the Eurozone to cave in. Greek Finance Minister Yanis Varoufakis said in an interview broadcast on Sunday that if Greece were to leave the euro, there would be an inevitable contagion effect. Now what's happening, we just learned today, is that Greece is starting to use public funds to keep things going. So they're going to be using municipal monies. They're going to be taking money from local governments and transferring the funds to the central bank to keep the country afloat until the end of May, as they can kind of try to get things going. Don't forget, they were supposed to run out of money on April 9th.
Well, that didn't happen.
No. Let's see. Who knows what's going on? Who knows, you know, if we know the truth about what's really happening. And people don't really care right now. Listen, in China, over the last couple of days, there's been a lot of going on. A state-backed bond by a company defaulted, I think $50 million. Nobody cares.
Huh. You would state-backed yet.
Yes. Yep, exactly.
That can't be good.
No. They said, you know what? You're on your own. We said that we're going to back you, but you know what? Sorry. So there was a $50 million, I think it was $50 million. It could have been a bit more, but it was at least on that piece. There was this default, and nobody blinked. Just seriously, I mean, this is a big issue that you find. If we have a market that just doesn't care about this kind of action, that's seriously concerning.
Yes, I'm sure you would say so.
Yep. All right, now into some of the more important things here. GoPro earnings coming out on 428. Now there's a serious competition entered. This Xiaomi. You know, they make the phone that's the competitor to the Apple iPhone in China.
Yeah.
They have a device that just came out. It's white little jobby. It's half the price and better specs.
Half the price of GoPro?
Yep, and better specs on the entry model. I think the entry model is 8 megapixels and for pictures and video. And this is 16.
Hmm.
Plus a few other things. But half the price, like $64.
Yeah, that's actually more like the price should be.
Yeah. Well, this is right now available in China, and I guess they're flocking to it. There was a couple of comparisons done with looking at the video from both. They look the same. You know, the kind of bouncy, wide-angle video.
Yeah.
So we're going to watch that, see what happens there. I don't know if the Xiaomi, I've got to get a better name. The Xiaomi product will be available in the U.S. anytime soon. But around the world, I mean, if anybody wants to get one of these little cameras, why spend all the money on that when you get one of these jobbies for, $64? I don't know if it's available even on, you could probably get it on like eBay or something like that, right? I would think. But
I'm sure you can find them online somehow.
You know what found its way onto eBay was these Lily, who'd you call it? The Lily Pulitzer? You know this Lily Pulitzer?
Yeah, the stuff that they're selling at Target.
Right. So the stores were stripped of all the Lily Pulitzer. And all of a sudden they showed up on eBay. It seemed
like some sort of a gigantic publicity stunt to me.
Can you imagine if Lily Pulitzer bought her own stuff and then sold them on eBay?
Maybe she never sold it to Target in the first place. Mm. I mean, she would do her deal with Target, sell them whatever, and keep a bunch of it.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they're just licensing her. I have no idea how this deal is worked out.
What is so great about these Lily Pulitzer, whatever they are?
Well, she's a good designer. She's very hip designer at the moment. She's one of those hot shots that Target isolates, and their stuff's very expensive. It makes them lots of money. It's very expensive. It's high-end stuff. Target gets and there's a bunch of people. I think, Mike, there's a bunch of people that have done this work for them. And say, okay, here's what we're going to do. You made, what, $10 million on this stuff, selling it overpriced? We're going to sell it for $35, and we're going to give you $50 million. Mm. And they just roll it in and roll it out. People go crazy for these designs.
Yeah, they seem to be. This is one of those things where people stampede on each other, right?
Well.
They're waiting for hours.
I don't get that, but okay.
Yeah.
It's not as though they can't make more.
Oh, no. Yeah. That's a good point, right?
It's not like gold. It's like you can't, you got to go pan for it.
Yep. Also things that are going on around the world. Let's see. The avian flu is hitting turkeys and chickens. Lots of birds are being exterminated. Millions. I think 5.5 million.
Yes, my wife keeps up with this. Apparently it's pretty bad.
Yeah. Bluebell ice cream recall. I guess is it E. coli, a trichinosis, or some other kind of...
Trichinosis and ice cream, that would be hair. Yeah.
it's pork chop ice cream.
We never have Bluebell out here.
You don't have Bluebell?
No, I never heard of it until this story.
So what happened? It got something... But doesn't the ice doesn't...
Like, isn't it Listeria or something?
Yeah, it's Listeria, but the frozen... The cold doesn't kill it, I guess.
Maybe it's suspended. No, I think it's like a lot of certain bacteria, actually, you can freeze. And unless you freeze dry them, but if you freeze them in a moisture thing, they can survive and they thaw out and they're good as new.
How great would it be if they came out and said that everybody needs to boil their Bluebell ice cream? Before you eat your ice cream, you need to boil it to make
they
sure
could,
it's...
They could eliminate this problem with gamma radiation, that's for sure.
Oh. You just pass it through some kind of gamma radiation dome or something?
Yeah. Hmm. Big devices. They're used in Europe. They're used around the world, except the United States, because we're so stupid. You know, we talk a big game about global warming and climate change and science, but nobody understands how gamma radiation works to sterilize things. They think it's going to make it radioactive.
But it doesn't.
No, it's like an X-ray just goes through and kills everything.
Don't we use that in certain... I've been in meat factories.
I think ultra-pasteurized milk is... I think a lot of that is using those devices.
Yeah. And is this also... Yeah, so I think I've seen this in meat factories. They pass it through one gamma radiation little machine just to kill anything that may be...
Well, that would stop the E. coli issue, that's for sure. The problem... I've always talked... I talk about it from a different perspective. As someone who drinks raw milk,
What's raw milk?
So, oh God, it's the worst thing in the world. But no, the people who make raw milk, they're triply inspected. The product going into the milk to begin with is way low on all these contaminants. It's like better product every which way. And the idea of pasteurization is that if you're a sloppy dairy farmer, you know, sloshing stuff all over the place, once you pasteurize it and you kill these organisms, it invites sloppiness. So using that same argument with the gamma radiation thing, I firmly believe, even though everyone's against it for the wrong reasons, I'm against it because I know what's going to happen. Though you will, for all practical purposes, put dog shit through it, and that's what you'll be eating. You know, they'll be dropping the meat all over the place. Who cares? Meat's going to go through the gamma radiation processes. Everything's going to be killed off. It could be contaminated with a million horrible things, but it's all going to be clean enough to eat. I just think it invites careless farming practices.
So exactly what is raw milk?
It's unpasteurized milk from a dairy that is licensed to produce raw milk. It has all kinds. It has health benefits, enzymes. It's got what came out of the cow.
So pretty much what we used to get on the porch when the milkman would deliver. And you get the layer of cream on top, right?
That's unhomogenized milk. That's different.
Homogenized, pasteurized.
Most milk is not homogenized either, generally.
Oh, really?
So you do get the cream at the top. You have to shake it yourself. Big deal.
Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes you hear things and it takes you off guard. Did you see this story about the fish pedicures, the appeal was rejected in the Arizona High Court?
No, I didn't know. I know about the fish pedicures.
Yeah, so the Guara Rufa.
You had that. You did that once, didn't you?
I was going to do it, but to be honest with you, I saw all these fish, these Guara Rufa fish, that these fish eat the dead skin off of the feet and provide this kind of soft feel, and they have these, like, I don't think they have teeth, but they just
they gum you.
Yeah. But what happened was I got up to there, and I saw it in a lot of places, Vietnam, Cambodia. But in Cambodia, we got there. It was like $1, and you get a beer. Sit there as long as you want. It's $1 and you get a beer, and just sit there, and the fish start eating and stuff. And what they have is these large, kind of like maybe 3 foot or so off the ground, plexiglass enclosed pools. And there's all these fish in there. and they have a place for you to sit, and you dangle your feet in there, you roll your pants up, and you dangle your feet in there, and the fish come, and they just attack, and they just, you know, tickle, and they eat, and they all this stuff. Well, I saw somebody put their foot in there, and like 400 fish left all the other people's feet and went to this person's foot. And it got me a little bit disgusted.
God.
I'm not kidding about this. I have video.
That's terrible.
I have video. If I was to have
video.
I do. If I was to have my own pool with my own fish, I would do it. But the thought of having other people's foulness smucking around the pool and then the fish coming over to me and going back and forth, working back and forth, is just disgusting.
Working 2 feet.
Yeah, no, it's no good. No good. I couldn't take it.
Yeah, well, you sound like you have an American sensibility about this.
Yeah, but here's the thing, that I guess in Arizona they were doing these fish pedicures, and the board said that any tool or equipment used in a pedicure must be stored and disinfected in a specific way, and that this person who is running the spa could not disinfect the fish coming in contact with client skin. I guess
that's, so they shut them down?
Yep. Shut down the fish pedicure. No good. So these are the same people that are trying to shut down Uber, I think.
I think it's a different group.
Mm. Are you for or against fish pedicures?
I don't care.
Right. You know what? Live and let live, right? As long as it doesn't hurt me, dangle your feet all day. Put it in a tank full of piranha for all I care, right?
Come out with just bones.
Yeah, you know? So I'm going to that would be great, wouldn't it? Kind of, you have a prank. You put somebody's feet in, like a
prank. Your idea of a prank is really something to think about.
Sure, put your feet in. Put your feet in. All right, so we have a question from a listener. Actually, I may have a few questions from listeners. I always put us out on Twitter. I'm Andrew Horowitz, and we have The Real Dvorak over on Twitter. Let's see what I got on Twitter, if there's anything. I'm going on to the iPhone Twitter account here. We need some kind of a sound effect on this here. Ooh, lots of things here. Well, from Barn Owl Bill, John Corzine is starting a new hedge fund. What can go wrong? Yeah, that's true. Did you see that Time Warner and Comcast merger is still moving forward? Impact on AT&T and DirecTV? You know what? This is from Gary. I don't know if you have any thoughts on this. Do you have any thoughts on that?
No, none whatsoever.
Do you care?
No, not really.
Mm. I mean, I still am a wonder of how satellite TV stays in business compared to like the Comcast. I mean, I have this new Comcast X1 Infinity system.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Just wow. And I was always a real complainer about cable. But this, first of all, the interface, you got to get used to it, but the interface is great. It doesn't have that.
This has DVR for a bunch of different channels or something?
Yeah, I could do like 5 or 6 DVRs at once.
Huh.
And if I'm in one room, I go in the other room and watch the recording I did on the main DVR or wherever it's recording. Or I can record, well, from my iPhone and from the computer, I can record too. Plus, what's really cool about this is, let's say that I wanted to start watching a particular show. Let's say 24, if it's, you know, as an example. I didn't watch it. Well, a lot of times on my own old cable providers, I would see like, okay, they give you like season 1, episode 10, and season 2 and 3, and they don't have 4 and 5, for example. You follow what I'm saying? In the DVR kits and the on-demand?
Yeah.
This has everything. They have you just go back and just binge-watch everything, which they have to because they're competing against Netflix and other players.
Right.
You know, so we just caught up on, I told you about the show Shameless, which I highly recommend.
Oh, please.
What a great show.
Yeah.
Funny, disturbing. But on Showtime, from the beginning we watched it.
Huh. Well, a lot of these things, I would say, yeah, let me think. There's one that's floating around. Oh, yeah, like Grimm, for example, on ABC. I wouldn't recommend people watch that show unless they watch the first season.
Right.
It's just this one of those shows where you really kind of miss most of the backstory and most of the funny. It's a comedy, and you would miss most of it. It's like a dramedy or whatever you want to call them. But you would miss most of the gags and most of the backstory unless you saw the first season, because the first season is just great.
Right.
But they don't, you know, you can't, that's the problem with television. That's one of the advantages Netflix has.
Mm-hmm. Here's some interesting ones. From DB. How long is Greece in the Eurozone for? And they're still holding on somehow, but how? I think we talked about that. They're basically stealing money from the public to pay for
it works.
Yeah.
It's always it's a quality methodology.
Right. Electric Brain says, Andrew, what's your template for fading strong moves, setup stops, targets, etc.? That's a little bit too lengthy to talk about, but you know, basically what you have to do is you start getting in slowly. Obviously, once it eclipses the top end plus a little bit is where you stop out, and your target would be the lower part before the strong move happened. A little bit vague, but that's what you get. Matthew asks, this is good for you. I'm gonna throw this to you, okay? What are your thoughts in investing in garbage companies? Now, that can be taken a few different ways, I think.
Oh, I don't think he's talking about waste management.
I don't think so. You think so?
I think he means garbage companies. I don't think he means garbage companies like waste management.
So a garbage company recently
we,
Radio
we Shack. Have one on this on the list here I picked up. A little cheapie called, I would call it a garbage company, which was Full Circle Capital.
Oh, yeah. So what are your thoughts on investing in garbage companies?
And I think what he means by garbage companies is just stocks that are depressed and bouncing off the bottom. Pinks, maybe. He's talking about pinks or right. Those junk stocks that you can get for next to nothing. I think that you could have a good selection of those. And every once in a while, one of them just – when one of those takes off for whatever reason, pump and dump or any number of – or a reverse merger, a lot of things can happen. And if you keep the problem is you have to keep tabs on these things because if it's a victim of a pump and dump, you have to do your research and get out of it when it goes up.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a reverse merger, then you got to see what the company is and what its prospects are, and then you just ride it forever. I don't have a real problem with these cheap stocks.
I mean, there is a reason that a lot of them are cheap, but the point that you make
is
that
because they're worthless. They're worthless penny stocks.
Right, but there is the potential for a lot of things to happen. You just got to do. I guess the one point about all these are that you can't think that they're just going to ride up back to the heyday prices. Get a nice trade out of it and get the hell out. That's what I think.
Yeah, and when if you can.
Alan asks, when will Shake Shack options start trading? Well, my answer? I have no idea.
No, you'd never have an idea. You wouldn't have an idea until they start trading.
Yeah, so that's a trick question maybe.
It's not like the options are scheduled, you know, to all of a sudden show up. They show up when they show up.
Yeah, they'll be out there soon enough. I mean, Shake Shack has been riding up pretty well. I mean, there was last earnings were not very impressive. A lot of negative press about it, and they just keep on going up. I've seen them several times move from, you know, down 3% throughout the day, and the end of the day, the stock continually squeezes higher. I think today it was down 6%, or maybe it was yesterday.
You know, companies like this, when the options appear and start to show up, they're never well priced.
Right, because the volatility is
so
high.
I think your best bet with options, personally, and the best luck I've ever had with options is always way out there of highly traded companies that trade within a range and then all of a sudden break out one way or the other. If you have some inkling that's going to happen, that's when you can make money with options, I think. I don't know how you play them.
We look for that. I mean, you're going to find that, for example, we had an option last week on Triple D, looking for the potential, you know, there's 3D companies.
Triple D.
You know, what happened was really interesting. The stock option, the option we had was a 31 strike for the April. And what happened was that it was, you know, kind of hanging out at 29 and almost 30 and 29. And the option was, I think, worth 10 cents. Okay. It was like 4 days till option expiration, maybe 5 days. All of a sudden, one day, the option's up like 700%. Then it moves up.
Wow.
All I got to tell you is I got all my money out of it and I was happy and we moved on. But at one point, I thought we lost all of it. We just got it all back and then it went right back the other direction.
Yeah. Yeah. So. That's the other thing you got to do. You got to keep an eye on these. For people who want to play options, there's once a week on CNBC. Have you ever watched the show?
Yeah, Option on Friday afternoons, right?
Yes, on Friday afternoons. It's all about options, and they've got some really good, talented guys. Some of the plays they recommend or show you are very complicated. Not always, but they tend to they look more for arbitrage deals, it seems to me, than they do for pure option play. But it's very educational.
Yep, I agree. Because options have things like iron condors, butterfly spreads, put call spreads, naked puts, covered calls. There's all sorts of things you could do with options. Last question, a few guys that I work with have recently using something called Robinhood Investing App. Zero commissions, no minimum balance. They've been making very small trades to pay for their Starbucks trips. With what I know about Starbucks, you got to make some decent money to pay for that. But anyway, conceptually, I like the supposed motives of the founders, which to allow less affluent individuals across the world to, I guess, access to markets. However, I am curious as to your thoughts of whether or not this is really going to benefit individuals who have no experience with investing securities. I think that many people are going to get their asses handed to them, thinking that making money in markets is as easy as pressing a few buttons in a slick iPhone app. Yes. The fact is that what ends up happening is that most of these people that do this will do it as a game, probably lose a lot of money, actually make a few dollars, but then pile in and lose a lot of money. This is
like that's what usually happens. They get bored. This is like playing on the craps table in Vegas. You can, if you play a conservative craps game and you know how to play the game in the first place, you can stay at the table. I don't know if you ever play craps, but it's the most social game. It's a good game. But you can stay at the table, and I've done this for hours and hours, and get all the free drinks you want. You'll be up like nothing, you know, $10. I mean, you just very slowly accumulate winnings, and then you lose a little bit. And then at some point you get bored, and you put it on some stupid bet. You lose it all. You're out of there.
Hard on you.
And that's kind of the way some of these other things work. You get tired. You get bored.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Give me the Yo 11.
Yo 11.
Yeah, press the snake eyes.
Press snake eyes.
How about the guy that's playing and all he's doing is playing the don't pass line?
Oh yeah, that guy's an a-hole,
and he's like the most hated person in the casino.
Yeah, well, that's because he's on the house side of the bet. He's not, he doesn't even get really good odds, and he's betting against everybody,
right?
Because everybody plays the pass line.
My favorite thing to watch is Baccarat, where every other table, you're not allowed to have a phone, a pencil, a pen. You're not allowed to have anything near you. You're not allowed to count cards, nothing, right? The Baccarat, you got like a mini spreadsheet in front of you. And people are dropping, oh, the dealer won that one. The players won that one. Yep, okay, I'm going to put all my money now because there was three players that won, two dealers, and one, okay, dealer, $1,000 in betting. Like, what kind of logic is this?
Yeah, I have no idea. I can't play that game.
Have you ever seen this?
Yeah.
It's nuts. And they are smoking cigarettes like crazy there. By the way, I heard that Louisiana is banning cigarettes in bars and one other place as of today.
I don't think that's a good idea.
How bad of a... Next thing...
You know what you should do if you're casino people... I don't smoke and I don't like it. But if you're in a casino or a bar... And it's too smoky, put a ventilation system in.
Or go to another bar.
There's that. But I'm thinking of casino. If you go to the like the Bellagio in Vegas, there's people smoking all over the place, and you would never know it.
Yeah, I think that I'm a little bit of flux about the idea of not smoking in a bar. I mean, this is kind of like as asinine. I'm not saying it's good to smoke and all this, but you know what? People are going to a bar. They're probably going to drink and smoke is what they're going to do. And, you know, it's kind of like saying,
commiserate.
No alcohol in a bar. I mean, that's where they're going next. They're nuts.
No alcohol.
Seriously. We're an alcohol-free bar. No cigarettes. No smoke. No. We're an alcohol-free bar, but you're welcome to smoke all that you'd like. People are nuts. All right, let's get to the stocks. Why don't we? Thank you so much for your questions. You can, the night of the Tuesday night, I'll remind you here and there to send in your questions via Twitter to The Real Dvorak or Andrew Horowitz. Going down the list, just to let you know, this is not an offer to buy or sell any security. It's just not a recommendation either. It's not advice. It's nothing of the kind. It is simply
a bunch of that should have been taken off of this thing.
Well, I'm moving. I'm trying. I'm sorry. What should have been taken off?
Well, you got your Panera Bread.
Yeah, that's. Did you see it stopped out? It's yellow. It went flying.
Oh, okay. Then what about the BIS?
That today got stopped out. I haven't gotten to that yet. Sorry.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Okay.
We have a lot of good ones at the top. Look at these 32%, 44%, 22%, 41%.
You know what? You're just all happy. Because your Netflix is up 16% in your Full Circle.
You
capital.
Mean the one I picked last week?
Yeah, that one. You just that's what this is about.
16% up.
Yeah, exactly.
One week.
Yeah, I think it was close to. Yeah, you would have been up 18%. It was down a percent and a half today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, let's see what else is going on here. Lumber Liquidator is up 7.5%.
I find that to be a nice call.
Yeah, that one's going to be hopefully moving up 3.5% today.
Your shorts are all failing, though.
Yeah, do you see that?
That's interesting. Marcus, I find that interesting. Except your pro shorts, you're shorted a short, so that doesn't count as a short.
Right, it's a long.
Panera Bread, you lost your ass on that. Yep. And I only have one short on the whole list that I can see, and that's the IBM, which is just dead money.
Is it? Where is it now? Let me see where this is.
164. It's up 2 points from when I shorted it.
Unbelievable. Hasn't moved in a quarter or more. That's unbelievable.
We're going to do a clean out in June. What is it, June 1st or May?
Yep. June 1st. I think we'll do a half year.
Yeah, thing. That's going to go. I'm throwing it out because it's just wasting time.
It's boring. It's taking up space.
Yes.
There's only so much bits available in the world. You know what I mean? We don't need to put that on there. BIS is going to be shorted out, stopped out. That's the biotechs just keep on going. And you can see that with Anthera, up 12.5% from 2 weeks ago.
Not seeing it with Seattle Genetics.
Yeah, what's up with that one? Why isn't that playing?
Well, it's dead money. It's gone down 0.9.
And what was the other one here? Alcoa's flat. This is the point with Alcoa. It had a pretty, I would say, just not a really good earnings number. I think it was down 4% in the days, 1 day or so after. And meanwhile, stock takes a day and just turns around and it's, there you go. It's back up. This takes back the number. Do you have any stocks? I don't have anything. I have nothing.
No, I looked and looked. I mean, I have a couple of things to talk about, but I don't think. I mean, this guy, the chief marketing officer for Barracuda Networks.
Oh, CUDA. C-U-D-A. Has been,
he's been, yes, CUDA.
Uh-huh.
He has been selling his stocks ever since, I'm going back years, February, January. He said, sale. It's like, sells 10,000 shares, 5,000 shares, 96 shares, 190 shares, 1,100 shares. And this is like almost every day he's selling some stock, but it's always like some mediocre amount. He's like April 21st, he sold 3,300 shares for $150,000. Then the next day he sells $37,000 worth. I mean, it's ridiculous. So I don't know what he's doing.
This is one of the security firms. There's security software like a Palo Alto Networks, like a McAfee, those kind of, to a different degree. But still, I think that's one of the Barracuda software or the software they have is for keeping away the hackers and security.
Well, I'm not doing anything with that. It's dumb.
What else you got?
Nothing.
Oh. Well, I will talk to you then next week, and I bid you adieu.
Okay, I bid you adieu.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I'll see you next week.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, because I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, because I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.